All right, this is going to be a teaching. It's a longer teaching, so I have another one, but if this is longer than expected, we'll do it another time. All right, the title of this one, this is 9/29/24. This is just an AGF. Put the Holy Spirit to work for you. All right, go to 2 Corinthians 10. This one is an exciting one for me. I hope it is for you too. Heard that chicken squawking this morning. She is happy. Yeah, next door. I mean, she is loud. All right. 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right, I have notes in here I'm going to read, and then we'll do scriptures. Seems, in my experience, the most I know that say they are Christians really don't know how to put the Holy Spirit to work for them. They know a lot about getting help in the flesh through means and methods, but it is only a temporary fix. Only God knows how to fix His people, and that is why He has sent the Helper. God's Spirit is always on standby to be put to work for you. Jesus talked to His disciples about the Comforter before He went to the cross. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Let's read John 14. Starting with 13 there. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, verse 13, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may guide or abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So he left the Holy Spirit. Really, the Holy Spirit took his place. He went back to the Father. He said, I can't stay. I have to go. And the Comforter, so the Comforter can come. Okay? What is a comforter? In the Strong's, it's an intercessor. You know, we're always talking about, we need intercessors. Well, it's what the Holy Ghost is doing. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. All right, let's look at Romans 8 here, 26. This week, the Holy Spirit said to me, you know, watching stuff that's uplifting and stuff like that is okay. But he said, the Holy Spirit is there to constantly and always and forever to help you. Those things are fine in themselves, but how much more would you receive if you spent that time praying and cooking up with me? I thought, well, I hadn't thought about it that way, but you're absolutely right. So I made my decision. I'm going to start spending more time praying in the Spirit just simply for that fact. Okay. Infirmities here. Let's see. Let's read 28:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, we don't even really know what our problem is. We can't even help ourselves, much less anybody else. That's what the Helper's there for. He understands everything. He understands things that you don't know. That's why men are running about crazy and trying to grasp at straws, trying to find anything to help them. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you know anybody else that has that kind of best interested heart than him? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Right here, infirmities means feebleness of mind or body, malady or frailty. That pretty well hits it all, doesn't it? That's what the Holy Spirit's there to do, to help you with. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I hope this nails it for you today. Gives you strength and courage because of what God gave us. All right, 12, verse 7 there. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. All right, grace. Who's the Spirit of grace? The Holy Spirit. That's the reason Paul was able to do it. All right. Paul knew how to get help. He had help. God didn't just throw him out there and he wasn't just a human punching bag. Okay, one more scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 29. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We have to remember God is a triune God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they work together for your benefit. Many know nothing of this. It is so sad, for it is the essence of the Spirit-filled walk. They call the Lord a hard man, but they trust natural man to help them handle their affairs. They will go to a doctor or banker that they don't even know and hear what they have to say and do what they say. And they say God's a hard man. The Holy Spirit was sent to help us follow God's word and plan. He has not ordained fleshly means to do this. He may say to you in prayer, go see this one or that one, but that is an entirely different scenario. It's just too hard to be a Christian. That's why we must renew our minds to the ways of the Spirit. Those that say it's just too hard, it's just too hard, it's just too hard, the ones are going to miss out. Yeah, it's hard on the flesh. But when you get used to praying in the Spirit, and you get used to looking to the Spirit and doing things that way, you'll adapt. All right. Go to Matthew 25. I've heard that all my Christian life. Well, it's just too hard. It's just too hard. They want to sit on the couch and eat candy, bonbons, you know, and watch Lifetime. But they can't sit 30 minutes in a service without falling asleep. They're disciplined, all right. They're just disciplined to be lazy. They're disciplined to accommodate the flesh. What are we doing? We're accommodating the Spirit. We're building the Spirit man, spending time building up the Spirit man. Okay, 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who had his own called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to another every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. It's just as hard for us to get out of bed as those that lay on the couch all day, isn't it? Huh? And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest me unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done. It doesn't matter how many talents you got, it's what you did with it, right? His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. It's in my Bible over there, you know, that I never read. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it to him which had 10 talents. Well, that's not fair. Sure it is. The ones that worked the hardest got the most. Gained the most, got the most. Those that didn't do anything didn't get anything. We looked at this last week. For unto every one that hath shall be given, he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's the Lord going to find when he comes, you know? I'm just thinking, what's he going to find? And I'm talking among Christians. I'm not talking about the world. A lot of people, the world, work harder than anybody, naturally speaking. All right. Hard means hard, tough, harsh, and severe. You're just harsh and severe, Lord. So I just hit it in the ground. Who said he was? Because they made you get up off your couch? Is that why he's harsh? Mm-hmm. All right. John the Baptist made this statement. This is John 30 or 330. When he sees Jesus, well, I'll read it, but y'all know it. This is 330. He must increase, but I must decrease. He's not asking for your 2 cents. He's asking for you to trust him. He sent the helper to help you. All right, right here, decrease. To lessen in rank or influence. Boy, I tell you, that flesh, it wants to rule. And we have to say, shut up. It wants to rule. We see it all over the place. This is increase, to grow and enlarge the spirit walk. We're talking about the ways of the spirit here. Are you one of those that calls the prayer line and lets everybody else do their praying for them? Are you one that does the praying? All right. That means that you get out of the driver's seat and move to the back seat and let the Holy Spirit take the lead. That's what it means. We don't have to let hurts do the driving for us. We can let the Holy Spirit. Remember those old stupid commercials? Well, all right. One of these days I might do a series on just called The Inside Out. Because more and more the Lord is showing me how everything, from the very beginning, it was an inside job. Satan came and made it an outside job. Jesus came to bring back the inside job. And people are out there, oh, the Jews, don't touch Israel. That is nothing. Now people are going to be, especially Christians, very devastated when they find the truth, I think. Well, when he said, don't touch Israel, he meant his blood-bought. And that includes Jews, blood-bought Jews. Oh, man, they're going to love that, aren't they? Just think about that. The people you know that are Christians, that they do all the feast, all the holy things that God moved out of, didn't want anymore, said, it stinks. I want what I had in the garden with my man. That's what I want. I walked with him in the cool of the day. The only way he could talk with Adam is he's a spirit. So is Adam. What happened? The fall severed the communication between the two. So God said, I'm going to send my son back to reconnect with my man that was in the garden. It's all an inside thing. So much emphasis on the outside, even churchy stuff. Just outside, everything for a parent's sake. So I'll be glad when we go back to house churches where it's modest. It's like in the stable. Oh, that you ain't got nothing. We'll see about that. If God's running it, it's everything. Yeah. All right. Got my gander up. All right. This is how God has made everything. When man fell in the garden, God could no longer communicate with his man. How did he do that? He sent the Holy Spirit. First of all, Jesus. And he said, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm going to walk and talk with you. And just like I talked with Adam. All right, look at John chapter 4. Verse 20 through 24. Think about that. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what we're fixing to read here. All right, starting with verse 20 there. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship as a Jew. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. He ain't going back in that building and in that box. He's not doing it, not for the Jews or anybody else. He's back in the garden. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the only way you can worship God. There is no external anything that you can do to worship God. It's by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right. This is why Jesus came. Now God didn't have to have a natural temper for a spirit to dwell in. When the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, he came back to dwell in men like he did in the garden. All the power you will ever need was placed inside you when you were born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. You can now have access to heaven and all the Father has. You don't have to go drum up something in some building somewhere. Boy, we had a good service this morning. Felt them goosebumps, you know what I'm saying? And everybody's still sick and broke. Come on, people. Why are we wasting our time? Well, they're 501c3s. The devil hijacked the church, or the what we call the church. Not God's chosen people, the one Jesus died for. All right. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. We've got to get this concept that it's inside. Inside. Directions inside, not outside. 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I figure if we took a poll on the street, what is the temple? What's the temple of God? Well, you know, it's that thing over there in Israel. Or, you know, it's that church down there, you know, on the corner. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. He gave his son for you. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. That's kind of like, I'm decreasing so the Spirit can increase in me. All the experts in the world, when you've got the one that made the world inside of you, why would you waste your time and spend your money on them? And say, I don't have time for that other. It's just too hard. It's just too hard. I can only pray 5 minutes. Well, pray 5 minutes and make it 10 minutes the next time and make 15 minutes the next time. Grow in it. Well, it's just too hard to be a Christian. No, it isn't. It's hard to live in this world and put up with the world and its devices, isn't it? Satan's devices? Isn't that the hard part? For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. What a special operation this is. And we've been criticized for 30 years because we didn't have nothing over there in that house with two or three people. If you get tired of doing that, come over to our big think tank and operate in the flesh. Have the same songs every Sunday, same offering every Sunday. I'm telling you, there's church. I guess it's always hated it. Just routine and rotes and just flesh. They didn't know any better. But we do now. Y'all are without excuse because you know. And I'm going to tell anybody that I can and they get offended, I'm going to go, bye. I'm going to move anything out that's offensive out of here because I'm not putting up with it. If you come here and you don't get it, there's something wrong. And it's not hard. It's very simple. I'll be thankful when the Lord hooks us up with other like-minded people that know the truth. Because the institution... religious institution is coming down with the banks, the stock market, everything. The kingdoms of this world are now becoming the kingdoms of our God, and he shall reign forever, period. Okay. Let's see where I left off here. As you learn to tap into the Holy Spirit and begin to see the results of it, it will help you to refuse to do it any other way. It always works. It never steers you wrong. It keeps your ship in or on course. You can't lose. When the Holy Ghost is captaining your ship, you'll stay on course because you'll be hesitant to step out and do anything without His sanction. I've become so to the point, even when I have a word, I'm just very cautious about giving it unless the Holy Spirit says it's the right time to do it. And I've held on to some words. One time I held on to one for over 10 years. Some I still have that I have never shared, and I probably won't. I think it was just more information to me about the situation. But still, that's the way we're supposed to live. All right. So many say, I just don't have time. It's because they're all caught up in this world system and all the things that it will pull at you. Everywhere you go, it will pull on you. Okay, Luke 10. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. Martha was the gadabout and always seeing all the stuff. And her sister was, she thought she was a lazy good for nothing. But no, really, she had the real riches. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap to the Spirit. You sow to the flesh, you're going to sow to the flesh. Just part of it. Galatians chapter 6, 8 and 9. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Yeah, it gets wearisome sometimes. But you get benefits from it. All right. So many say they just don't have time. Well, they got the same amount of time as you do. There's 24 hours in every day, right? Everybody's got the same time. It's what they choose to do with it. Don't let them borrow from you, like the virgins that had their oil lamps full. Don't let them borrow from you. Say, I don't have time to pray for you. Well, you need to go do your own praying. I never viewed that way, but that's the truth. Don't let people borrow from you. Okay. Jesus walked in the Spirit. How did he do it? We're going to look at that. This is Matthew chapter 14. Just one little picture. Start with verse 10 there. That can't be right. Am I in the right place? Hold on. Well, that's what it shows. Just a second. Okay, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Huh. He was there alone. Yeah, call her. Let her do all you're praying for you. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. out there and got themselves in trouble. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out with fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the sea, the wind ceased. So what's the parallel here? Jesus is up there praying in the mountain. He walked on the water. The rest of them were out there toiling on the sea. Just a sea of humanity, just toiling out there, just doing their thing, running here and there, wondering why they don't have no power to do nothing. Peter tried. We'll have to give him credit for trying. He did walk a little bit on the water, and then he sank. He wasn't fit. His vessel wasn't full. If it had been praying up there with Jesus, it had been walking on the water with Jesus. All right. Toiling and spinning in a sea of humanity. That's why the Holy Spirit's here. He's the comforter. He's the helper. All right, Romans 8:14. Jesus learned how to access the Spirit of God. He said himself he didn't do it, that his Father in him did it. He didn't even take credit for what was done. He is up there in that mountain getting instructions. All right, 8:14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." All right. How are you led by the Spirit? By engaging the Spirit. We're going to look at how we engage the Spirit. Go to Luke chapter 12 first. Got a lot of scriptures because it's all in the Word. That's what this whole thing is about. That's what this new church, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church, is about. Being led by the Spirit. Not just works of the flesh. Not corporations. All right, Luke 12:11. "And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." He's there to help us. Okay, John, let's go to John chapter 2. Starting with verse 1 there. "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, 'They have no wine.' Jesus said unto her, 'Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come.'" In other words, what do you want me to do about it? I can't just do something about it. "His mother saith unto the servants, 'Whatever he saith unto you, do it.' And there was set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, 'Fill the water pots with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, 'Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast.' And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, 'Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." So Jesus makes the statement, I believe it's, we're going to read it here in a minute, that he didn't do the works himself. that the Father in him did it. So when you get a hold of that, now you understand. Jesus didn't just come down here and just do whatever he wanted. He had to follow the Spirit. And that's how we do it. If he tells you to do it, do it. If he doesn't say do it, don't do it. It's not rocket science. Everybody, oh, the miracles of Jesus. Were they? He said, the Father in me does the works. Oh, we can't ever be like Jesus. Yeah, we can be just like him. Walk as he walked. Listen to the Spirit like he did. All right, go to John 14. We read some of that earlier, but this is a little different portion of it. Hope y'all are getting what I'm saying today. It's simple as the Holy Spirit saying, go lay your hands on them and speak this and do it. And they get healed. And then they say, oh, we got a miracle worker in our midst. Well, no, it's the Father in me doing the works. I didn't do anything but do what he told me to do. Not my might or power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how Jesus operated. Oh, he was the Son of God. Romans 8:14. They are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Oh, I'll tell you what, they're going to love me, aren't they? Oh, Lord, help us. All right, 10. Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. He didn't even speak anything but Father's words. He didn't speak his own words. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. You mean I can be just like Jesus, walk like Jesus walked, act like Jesus act? Yowza. This is exciting for me. And he said, also greater works than these shall he do because I go to my Father. It's not going to be just Jesus exclusive now. It's going to be a whole bunch of us. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. It's an inside operation. There ain't any other operation of God. He moved out of that other thing. He couldn't stand the blood of bulls and goats. And only one man could go before him once a year with a bucket of blood. Now, go over there and read that in Hebrews. He's fed up with it. He didn't want that in the first place. He wanted a fellowship with man in the earth that he made for him. Okay. What a revelation. Jesus did what the Spirit said do, and he didn't claim that he even did them. We would do the same things that he did in just the same way he did them. Boy, it takes the work out of things, doesn't it? I don't have anything, so I ain't doing anything. I'm just a praying in the Spirit, and he'll give me instructions. And I may be out doing something, all of a sudden the Lord said, buy their meal. Pay for their groceries. That's the way you use it. It's not rocket science. It's the walk of the Spirit. You can have your rocket science. We ain't going anywhere with them anyway. Can't get through the firmament. Hillary and her however many million cracks in her glass ceiling. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Verse 12 here, Let me repeat that one. I have it marked again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father. We haven't realized that we could. But we can. Greater works. All this by engaging the helper. All right, Romans 15:13. Oh, thank you, Lord. How can we lose with what he's given us? We can't. It's going to take some discipline to train yourself to hear the Spirit and quit just doing your stuff in the flesh. Now, this is 15:13 of Romans. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's a no fail. You know, you do stuff in the flesh, hit and miss. But with the Holy Spirit, it's a no fail. It said he leads us and guides us into all truth. He ain't going to be a lying to you about anything. Not ever. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Acts 1:8 on the Holy Spirit. That was going to be just a few scriptures, but yesterday the Lord gave me two more pages. After I prayed a few hours in the Spirit, I was sitting there at the desk and just writing stuff down, so I had to come back and redo it. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. You feel powerless. You receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. How are you going to be witnesses? After you receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Not going to somebody's door and beating on the door and saying, if you've died tonight, where would you go? Slam. Some of our evangelistic, churchy things that we did. No! You're led by the Spirit. People can't just get born again when they want to. It says the Spirit has to draw them. So that comes from a divine appointment. So quit trying to throw away tracts and throw away books and things. Be led by the Spirit. Because I'd venture to say, we've given away so many tracts and books over the years, and most of them went right in the trash. So don't do it unless you're led of the Spirit. That's churchy. Well, the more, you know, we buy them by the thousand. Well, I hope they're all fruitful. That's all I got to say about that. Maybe somebody will find them someday, and they will read them and will get born again. See, just all this fleshly stuff. We could all buy us a house, all the stuff we wasted in these fleshly adventures or whatever. The Lord lead us by a house. All right, Acts 1, okay, Acts 2, first five verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Just think about speaking in tongues, how supernatural it is. That's coming out of you with no effort, except you're allowing it to come through your voice. It's the Holy Spirit praying through you. That's supernatural. Try speaking some language you don't know. You'd have to get out all your books and say, that's how to pronounce that. This is supernatural. Just don't take it for granted how powerful it really is. John 14:26. We've already read it, but we'll read it again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. You don't have to take a bunch of those stupid things they tell you to take to have a memory recall. You got the Holy Spirit inside of you that knows everything, can tell you anything at any time he needs to. Remember that again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. One time, Denny led a teenager to the Lord, or not to the Lord, but to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I won't say she was mentally retarded, but she had some problems. She's struggling in school. And I remember telling her to stop looking at your intellect and start looking in your heart for your answers. When you come across a question on a test, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what's the answer to this? They've done everything they can to dumb us down. But there's where all the power lies, all the wisdom lies, everything you'll ever need right there in your spirit. All right. So all these drugs they try to pump people through to help them to wake up or whatever, I think it's dumbing them down even more. We just need the Holy Spirit. That's all we've needed all along. They've just sold us a bill of goods. They're all snake oil salesmen, all of them. All right, let's keep going. Galatians 5. '22 and '23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. People that are filled with the Spirit and give themselves to praying in the Spirit and begin to develop the inside walk, this is what they'll walk in. Not in all of this that we see going around, the fighting and the money grubbering and all this stuff going on. Mm-mm-mm. If you're around a Christian like that, well, they've not applied the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit can tell you how to get it. Do we need another tyrant to come into place to try to say, now you're going to do it this way? Do we? No. There's going to be some white hats upset too. This is God's operation, and they just might as well get ready to know that they're not going to be the ones in charge. God is in control, is going to be in charge of this operation. It may take us some time, but God is the one. We need to put him in the proper place. If God's not first, then you just might as well wipe the whole thing. Now, I know some people are not renewed in their mind and they don't understand that concept, but they will. Like I said, that word I had about the kingdom. A change in the atmosphere. As the darkness is run out of here, the thinking will change. The atmosphere will be different. It won't be full of demonic entities. Okay. Romans 8. Eight, 2-6 here. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the Spirit do mind the things, or those that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. There's healing right there. Think about it. Jesus was dead. Dead as a dog. Guess who raised him from the dead? God's Spirit. If he can raise his body from the dead, he can fix yours by his Spirit that dwells in you. I'm telling you, when you develop this life, this Spirit-fed life, you're going to see it. You sow to the flesh, you'll reap to the flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you'll reap the Spirit. All right. Help us, Lord. Help us to sow to the Spirit. And quit putting so much emphasis on the flesh. Okay. 2 Corinthians. Wherefore, henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given us the ministry of reconciliation. New creatures. Not subject to all that junk. But you know what? We've got to build that into us by the Spirit. All right. 1 John 2. Well, I'll start with 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as we have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You got all the wisdom that there is inside. All. You have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Who is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son? Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You know all things. Is there something you don't know? Ask the Holy Spirit. He knows all things. Well, another scripture says he'll bring all things to your remembrance. Okay. We've got a treasure house in us. John 7:38, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. John 1:4-4, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You got TNT on the inside. You do not have to bear what you're bearing alone. You do not have to bear what you are bearing alone. He comes alongside to help you. All right, he's the helper. You can engage him anytime you need to. Now, if you give into the flesh and your emotions, that's another thing. But if you look to the Holy Spirit, He will help you, okay? It's learning to not handle our affairs the way we've handled our affairs, but looking to the Spirit in all things. All right? Psalms 91. The helper will get you free from the snare of the fowler. If you're ensnared, He will get you free from that ensnarement. Here's another story. The pastor's wife. She got up and told her testimony. She was one of these kind of sober top ladies that didn't ever say much. Looked like she was kind of mad half the time, you know. You're just kind of going, But anyway, she tells a story of, because of the ugliness of church people and how she'd been hurt, she was really wounded. And she began to pray in the Spirit. And I've told this story before. And she prayed. I don't know how long she prayed, but she said, I could tell the day my head cleared the well. In other words, the Holy Spirit had taken all those snares and those cares and all those things that people had done to her and hurt her with and healed her. She did that by praying in the Spirit. So if you're in a well, pray yourself out of the well. Wherever you're unwell, pray yourself out of that unwell. It's all there. I'm not going to say it's going to happen overnight. But as you begin to develop this and it grows in your life, you can't help but see changes. Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians 4. Right here, let's go up. Let's go to 13. We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, what is the Holy Spirit trying to get us to do? To focus on the eternal, not this external that's temporary. That's why a momentary affliction, Paul said. We're looking at this millennial affliction, you know. No, that's not the way to look at it. This momentary thing. It's just all how you look at it. Okay. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:18 that he prayed in tongues more than any of them. Now, you know why? Because he had lots of stuff he needed to pray in tongues about. And it worked for him. All right. He said, right here, let's read 2 Timothy because he talks about it. Chapter 3, start with 10 there. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. We have to keep that. He will deliver me. So it's not forever. Yea, and all that will live God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But Paul said, I've been delivered out of all of it. Okay, Paul was delivered out of it all. The helper knows more than anyone, more than podcasters, Q, the military, the Alliance, Space Force, President Trump, Congress, the Supreme Court, financial experts, and doctors. Then why are you wasting your time looking for your answers from them? Now, if you're seeking God, he says, go to them, you go to them. But seeking them without asking him? No, no. That's where we get into trouble, right there. All right. John 16, we read it a while ago. He will show you things to come. He knows what the financial market's going to do. He knows if there's going to be an election or not. Why do we sit on all these conflicting voices telling us, blah, 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 nothing ever happens? The Holy Spirit will tell you if you will ask him. Like I said, why are we wasting our time? We're just filling up time. We might as well, if we're going to fill up time, we might as well do something that's going to be profitable, right? By praying in the Spirit. You cannot be any more prepared than that. To know that the one that knows it all is inside of you. You know, there may be a reason why the Lord's never told us to do anything. You got 50 people. Oh, you better go get you more water and get your generator and get your ivermectin and get you all this other stuff and all that. You better stockpile it. Oh, you better do it now. They keep the same old message every week, every week, every week, every week. Follow the money, honey. And the Holy Spirit hadn't said, do zip. I think we better begin to listen to the one that really knows, because they don't know nothing. They're just out there to make a buck. And to keep you coming. They get so much for clicks. That's the truth. Okay. All right. You can't be any more prepared than that. Whatever the Spirit is saying, do it. That's the most prepared you can be in any situation that you find yourself in. Has he told you to do anything? Has he? Mm-hmm. He has told you to do things? Mm-hmm. Well, if he tells you to, you do it. But if he hasn't said do anything, then don't do it. Is that hard? No. Is he a hard man? All right. Whatever he says to you, do it. No more guesswork. He is the most valuable thing in your life. He will stick with you forever. The friend that sticks closer than a brother, he will never lie to you. This is Proverbs 18:21, talks about the friend that sticks closer than the brother. He'll never bail on you. Never tell lies on you. Never gossip behind your back. His main goal is to lead and guide you into all truth. Finally, Romans 8:11. That's the one I just read. He'll quicken your mortal body. Quicken here means vitalize or make alive. Got some things need fixing? Dr. Jesus is on the job. Jehovah Rapha. The work of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Do you know any doctor that can raise anybody from the dead? Then why are we wasting our time with these so-called healers? They don't heal anything. Okay. That's going to be it. What time is it? Okay.